Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place tonight. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's come to worship and to receive from you. And Lord, so often what we need is a word from you. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us tonight. And Lord, that you would help me to say exactly what you'd have me to. And Lord, that the Spirit would speak. Lord, that each one would know that God has spoken to them in some way and their lives would be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I want to share a very simple message with you. Well, it's simple, but it's really, well, okay, let's just start this way. How many of you believe God does miracles? Oh, awesome. Because tonight I'm going to preach a 5-week series in 35 minutes. How many of you have faith for that? Well, not near as many hands now, but you have little faith. The message tonight is just titled, Big. We serve a big God, a God who can do absolutely anything. Listen, he spoke the universe into existence just by the words of his mouth. He holds it all in the palm of his hand. He is an awesome God beyond what we can even imagine. So infinite, so powerful. They talk about the power of our sun that's 93 million miles away and yet warms the earth. Such power. And it is not even a big star. It's just average. And there are billions and billions of stars, all of it created by the words of his mouth. How big is our God? I'm telling you, there's not anything that he can't do. There's a wonderful story in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. And in this story, I'll just kind of bring you up to where we're going to begin reading. King Nebuchadnezzar has created this image that everyone is to bow down to. When the music plays, if you don't bow, he says you're going to burn. There's going to be consequences. You're going to burn in the fiery furnace. We're going to pick the story up in verse 17 and 18, Daniel chapter 3. It says, this is what three Hebrew young men said to King Nebuchadnezzar. He tells them, if you don't bow, you're going to burn. And they said, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. First of all, I want you to see, they said, we believe that our God is able. Our God is big enough. He's an almighty, all-powerful God. There's not anything that he can't do. And church, every one of us needs to know that our God is big enough, that he is able. There's an old song that says, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. Too many Christians today, they're singing another old song. It goes like this. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. They've forgotten how big their God is. I'm telling you, church, we should never be saying gloom and despair and agony and bad luck. No, we need to remember how big our God is, how awesome He is. There's not anything that He cannot do. Listen, that might be the song of the world, but it should never be our song. No, the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter is what the Bible says. It's just supposed to get brighter. I know that sometimes we have trouble. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. And you know what? These three young men, they had some trouble when the king says to them, you're going to be thrown into the fire. See, when they tell you they're going to throw you into the fiery furnace, when they tell you that you have cancer, when they tell you that you're going to be audited, but you know how big your God is, you don't have to be afraid. Matthew 19, 26, Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. Remember, this is the God who spoke the worlds into existence, the God who can guide a stone from the sling to the giant's head, right? The God who can calm a storm, the God who, when His servant Moses holds a stick out over the waters divide. See, we're talking about an awesome God who can do anything. Ephesians 3:20 has always been kind of a favorite verse for Carmen and I. It's now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's who He is. He's a God that can do way far above what you can even imagine. Now, I don't know about you, but I can imagine some pretty big stuff. Our God can do way far and above what you could possibly even dream up. That's how big He is. You need to know. He's a big God. Because we serve a big God who can do anything, we should have a big vision. Those three Hebrews had a vision. They said, we believe that our God is able to deliver us. You see, they didn't see themselves going in the fire and dying in agony and pain and suffering. No, they saw themselves coming out in victory. They knew that God was able to deliver them. And I'm telling you, you need to have a vision for your life, the right kind of vision, a God vision. See, don't see yourself dying from some disease. Don't see yourself living in poverty or just always living from paycheck to paycheck. And by the way, when I say a big vision, I'm talking about something beyond where you are today. I mean, you might say, but you don't know, Pastor, I'm living a dream. That's great. But you know God's not through with you? There's more. He still has plans for you tomorrow. And though you may have achieved some great things in your life, it's not over. You still need to have a big vision, knowing that the God you serve, He's big enough to do great things in your life. So see yourself as a child of God, as an overcomer, more than a conqueror. And whatever challenges and battles you face, you see, I want you to understand, sometimes we read these stories like they're fairy tales. This was real life. This was something that actually happened to these young men. And we know the end of the story, that they didn't die. But you got to understand that when the king says, if you don't bow, you're going to burn. You see, if we just look at that in the natural, and you don't realize how big your God is, then fear takes over. You see all kinds of negative things happening in your life when you don't remember how big your God is. But if you remember how big God is, it changes your vision. You got to have a big vision because you serve a big God. Don't limit what God wants to do in your life, but see yourself healthy. See yourself blessed. See yourself walking in victory. Proverbs 29:18 in the King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. In the New King James, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Sounds very different. In reality, it's really very, very similar. Because when you have no vision for your life, no revelation of what God wants to do in your life, no purpose in your life, then you throw off restraint. You live without purpose. You know what that is? It's a slow death. I'm just telling you, every Christian ought to have a big vision for their life and what God wants to do in their life. You need to see it with eyes of faith. You know, one of the sad things to me is that sometimes young people in our generation don't really have vision. They don't even have hope of their future and what God would do in their life. And because of that, sometimes they make terrible decisions that head their life in the wrong direction. God can turn it around, but I'm just making the point to you that, you see, when we don't have vision for what God wants to do in our life, then we just live haphazard, whatever lives, because it doesn't really matter. But when you know that God wants to do something great in your life, then it makes a difference in how you live. And I'm telling you, these guys, they knew that God was a big God. They saw themselves coming out of that fiery furnace. And you know what? They didn't bow. When you have vision for your life, it gives you strength to keep your commitments, to keep your vows, to keep your values, and do what you're supposed to do. But you got to have vision. We serve a big God who loves us. Every one of us matters to God. He has a plan for you. Jeremiah 1:5 says, the Lord says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now you need to understand something. God does not beforehand determine your choices in life. He gave every one of us a free will. But in the foreknowledge of God, He knows you. He knows what you will choose. He knows what you will do. And He tells Jeremiah, He said, while you were still in the womb, I knew you. Now, you need to realize that Jeremiah wasn't just some person that in all of history God picked out and he's the only one. No, He knows all of us, every one of us. And He had this plan for Jeremiah to be a great prophet. God may not have called you to be a great prophet, but I can assure you that He knew you and that He does have plans for you. In fact, if you look at Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, there are things that God has designed you in Christ Jesus for good works that God has already prepared. Another translation says ordained for you to do. So you need to have vision for your life of God's purpose and His plan for your life. You know, a lot of people, they set out to achieve things. They have their own goals and, you know, their own plans. And I just want to encourage you to seek the Lord for vision. Because we're not talking about you just coming up with a plan. We're talking about God's plan. In Psalms 33, 10 and 11, it says, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." See, a lot of people get disillusioned because they think that God just ought to bless what they want to do. They think that God just ought to bless their mess and bless their plans. Listen, you get God's plan and you can count on it coming to pass. But you know what it takes? It takes a heart that's willing to lay aside selfish ambition and to let God have his way. And when we do that, I'm telling you, we can have a big vision. We can see God do great things in and through our lives. Another verse, Proverbs 19, 21 says, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." See, what's going to come to pass? God's plan. Sometimes things don't turn out the way we think that they should. But guess what? His plan for you is good. And we need to believe God for his plans and purposes to come to pass in our life. Jeremiah 29, 11, the NIV, this has become, I guess, kind of a favorite scripture of many people. It is a great verse. And I think a lot of times it's preached to young people, but you need to know that this isn't just for young people. This is for everybody. It says, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And there it is. God's not done with you. He wants to give you a hope and a future. So have a big vision. You serve a big God who has big plans for you. And remember, your limitations are not God's limitations. See, when we're weak, then he's strong. And I want to encourage you. You see, as you have vision of what God wants to do in and through your life, don't limit yourself and don't limit God, because he can do anything. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, what God wants to do in your life is bigger than what you can do on your own. Because he wants to be involved in it. And you're not alone. What if you and God were in this together? What if you and the God of the universe were working together? See, you need to have a big vision. Not because you're anything, but because he's all that, right? He really is. So what could you and God do? You need to have a big vision. You might think of yourself as a nobody, but I'm telling you, he's been making somebodies out of nobodies for thousands of years, and he's not done. Listen to this from Psalm 78, 41 and 42. It says, "Again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power." It's amazing that the children of Israel, who saw such fantastic miracles, forgot. I mean, the miracles were written down, and they were told from generation to generation. They knew about them, but somehow or another, they just kind of forgot. They forgot the power of God. Oh, it's not that strange, really, because I think most of the church has forgotten the power of God. God who can do absolutely anything. And instead of being like those three Hebrew young men, so many cower down. So many run and cry in fear. We don't need to be afraid, church. We serve a big God. We need to have a big vision of God working in and through our lives. You have a big vision? Well, you got to have big faith. Big faith. What is that? It's the opposite of little faith. And four times in the book of Matthew alone, Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith." Little faith. They couldn't seem to believe. I mean, they're right there with the Son of God, and he has to rebuke them for their little faith. We need to have big faith. Faith that sees what God can do. I'm telling you, our faith or the lack of faith will determine whether or not we see God do great things in our life. And I tell you, I'm going to fess up. I am a faith preacher. This is the word of faith which we preach. I don't preach doubt. There's plenty of that from the world and the religious world. Jesus never preached doubt. Jesus preached faith. He said, "Have faith in God." And he preached it all the time. And he rebuked people when they didn't have faith. And he said things like, "Be it unto you according to your faith." So how do you want it to be to you? We got to have big faith. Not little faith, but faith that will really believe God for great things. He said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, "Be thou removed." Amen. We need to have that great faith, mountain-moving faith. You know, one of the things that Satan uses to cripple people's faith is to make them think that because they've doubted, because they've had little faith, that therefore God can't do anything big in their life. Well, I just want to remind you that those very disciples to whom Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith," and by the way, he's saying that to some of you tonight, but don't be discouraged. Those very disciples later healed the sick, cast out devils, and raised the dead. There's hope for us. Amen. We might have little faith, but we don't have to stay that way. See, the enemy, he'll always try to beat you down and say, "Oh, you'll never be anything, you little faith." Jesus didn't say it that way. No, he is telling us we need to have faith. And I'm telling you tonight, you want to see God do great things? It takes big faith in a big example he is. Just even like Peter. What an example he is of a guy who had faith and he gets out of the boat and walks on the water and Jesus says to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" But Peter's still the only guy besides Jesus that ever walked on water. And Peter went on to do some great things. God did some awesome things through him. But you got to have big faith. See, don't limit God by small faith. Jesus said, Mark 9:23, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." You know, one of the reasons that so many people have a hard time with those kinds of verses is because it puts the responsibility back on us. Yeah, that's our part, just to believe God. All things are possible to him who believes. So have a big faith. I'm telling you, these three guys, they had a big faith. Let me read those verses again, 17 and 18. They said, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And here's what they said next. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. He will. That's faith. Now they stitched up the deal with this next part. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image that you've set up. And here it is. You got to make a big commitment. They had made a big commitment. They were all in. They said, our God will deliver us. But if not, we're still not going to bow. You go ahead and throw us in the fire, we're not going to do what you want. They had made a total commitment. And I want to tell you, you got to be all in. You can't just be kind of playing church. He expects a total commitment. It's always been that way. There has never been a time when it was good enough to love him with half your heart, good enough to halfway trust him, good enough to halfway serve him or halfway obey him. All through the scripture, he demands and he expects of us. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. He says, hold fast to him and serve him with all your heart and soul. He says, trust the Lord with all your heart. I'm just telling you, it's always been all. It's a total commitment. By the way, trust the Lord with all your heart. We talked about that one Sunday from Proverbs 3:5. And you know what? That's a big part of being able to make a total commitment, because if you really trust God, you'll do it. A lot of people won't commit, won't really turn their life over to God. You know, it's sort of, kind of. See, a lot of people want a Band-Aid on their life. They think Jesus is a Band-Aid to make their life a little better. No, Jesus will totally change your life. But it takes a total commitment. You don't just add a little Jesus to your life. Jesus is your life. But when you make that big commitment to a big God, I'm telling you, God can do anything. Peter said, we've left all. And the Bible says they turned the world upside down. Big commitment. Paul said in Philippians 3:8, I count all things a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. He said, I've let it all go. Counted all as loss to know him. Big commitment. Too many today want to dabble in serving God, and they never see fulfillment of vision in their life. Their commitment just wasn't there. Well, as long as it fits into my plans and it's convenient, you know, if I can work it into my schedule, I'll be there if it don't rain. You can count on me if something doesn't come up. Jesus said, you got to count the cost. You got to count the cost so you don't get halfway done and quit. I will tell you that it's a very sad thing that's happening in our world today, in America, in the church in America, that the average lifespan of a pastor, I don't mean how long they live physically, I'm talking about how long a pastor is a pastor, is 15 years, that's it. And I'm just telling you that so many, and I'm not being critical of those that don't, but I'm just saying that so many, even those in full-time ministry, and I'm going to tell you tonight, that I'm really bullheaded, but I'm also going to tell you that there was a time when I said, God, I'm tired and I need a break and I'm going to go get me a secular job and I'm going to do something else for a while and it's okay. I can be a normal person. And maybe like so many others, I would have gone that way, except God shut all the doors. Or maybe I just wasn't qualified to do anything else. But he turned my heart around, kept me on the right path. But here's my point, though. If we're going to make it, if we're going to fulfill God's purpose, I'm telling you, we got to have a big commitment. We got to be all in. That's what it always takes. Count the cost. Jesus is our example. Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He went through it. It was a total commitment. But he endured for the joy set before him. And I'm going to tell you the straight up. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to have vision in your life, if you're going to believe God for great things, there's going to be battles. There's going to be opposition. You have an enemy. And there's going to be people that Satan uses against you. There's going to be all kinds of obstacles and challenges and opportunities to use your faith. And you might be thrown into the fiery furnace. All in. But our God is able. A big vision won't be fulfilled without a big commitment. It just won't happen. Second Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20 and 21, it says, Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. So he prospered. I want to tell you something. There are a lot of principles from the Word of God about how to be successful and how to prosper. And here is a very powerful principle that we need to hear, that if we're really going to prosper in the things that God has given us to do, we need to do it with all our heart. Listen, I said earlier, you're working together with God. You know, some people get that lazy attitude. Okay, God, I'll be here whenever you get her done. Listen, we do our part. You're supposed to go all out. Colossians says to whatever you do in word or deed, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. No, we're never supposed to just give a halfway effort or just sort of kind of try. No, whatever God gives you to do, you do it with all your heart to the best of your ability. And God will see to it that you prosper. He'll give the increase. He'll see to it that our dreams, our vision is fulfilled when we work with all our heart. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he says, I haven't already attained or already perfected, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also taken hold of me. See, he knew that God had a purpose for his life. And he wanted to take hold of that purpose. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight, listen, and you make a total commitment to God, that means you go all out, always. Always reaching forward to what God has for you. Listen, it's wonderful what God did in the past, what he's done in your life. Never forget it, but always be reaching forward to what he has for you tomorrow. And the end result of having a big God and having big vision and big faith and a big commitment is a big impact. Big impact. One believer who's truly committed to Jesus Christ and totally sold out will have a greater impact than a whole church full of lukewarm people. Okay, all the people that are really committed said amen. Okay, some of you still thinking about it. I just wanted to make sure there was more than one because I only heard one the first time. But that's the truth. When we're really committed, then we can have an impact. In fact, if you're really totally sold out to God, totally all in, I'm telling you, you can't not. Y'all get that double negative? You can't help but have an impact on others. You're going to influence other people. You're going to impact other people when you are totally committed. But you know what? If we're lukewarm and wishy-washy, well, we can just blend right in and make our way through this world and never really have much of an impact. No, we need to have a big impact. How this world needs it. But you know what? When God gives us vision, this is real important. When God gives us vision, it's never just about other people. Remember I said it can't just be selfish ambition? You see, it's always about other people. God gave Abraham a vision. He said, you're going to have a son. You're going to be the father of many nations. And I'm going to give you all this land. See, God gave him a great vision that affected him personally. But then he also told him, and the whole world is going to be blessed through you. Now I'm telling you, when God is in it, when God is in your vision, it's going to impact other people. I appreciate Josh Weathers. God given him and his wife a vision to build an orphanage in India. It's not just about them. No, it's about helping others. It's about reaching people. And I just want you to see, you know what? God may not have called you to be a prophet. He might not have called you to build an orphanage. He might not have called you to be a preacher. But I'm telling you that God has called you to impact the lives of those around you. Every single one of you. You see, you might be raising the world's greatest evangelist. Or you might be teaching a children's class with a great prophet in there. You might just win one family to the Lord. Is that a big impact? I want to tell you that it's a really big impact to them for eternity. But all of us need to know this. We serve a big God, and he didn't put us here for no reason. No, we're here for a reason, to have an impact. Jesus said that we were to be salt and light to the world. It's not arrogant to think that you're going to make a difference, because it's God. As greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We know apart from him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can bear much fruit. That's impact. I want to go back to our story one last time. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to read 25 through 29 this time. He says, look, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps and administrators and governors and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. Trust, there it is. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Therefore, here it is. You talk about impact. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Now, here they were in an ungodly nation where everybody has to bow down to a golden idol. And I'm telling you, I know a lot of you, you're concerned about some things going on in our country. We need to remember we have a big God. We'll believe him. If we're willing to have an impact, I'm telling you, God can turn things around. You see, they went from being threatened from their lives to now the same king has declared nobody better say anything against their God. Wow, what a turnaround in a day. We serve a big God, church, and he wants to have a big impact in and through our lives. And I just want to encourage you, just be willing to be used of God. Just be willing to take that next step. You know what? You may not have the opportunity to go in the fiery furnace tomorrow, but just be willing to let God use you. Follow after that vision that God has for your life. And I want to say one more thing about that big impact. Sometimes you got to go in the fire to have an impact. Don't be afraid. God will bring you through. Amen. Big, big. Well, stand with me. I'm going to dismiss you with prayer. Father, I just thank you for drawing our attention back to this tonight, that you are Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, that there is nothing that you cannot do. Lord, forgive us for times of little faith. And Father, I pray as we go out from this place that we'll go, Lord, with God confidence, knowing, Lord, that you're with us. And Lord, that we will prevail, that victory will come, that many lives will be changed, and that you'll be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, bless you.